Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. If you're just joining us, once again, to all of you who celebrate Hanukkah, which has begun, happy Hanukkah, first day of Hanukkah, 7 gift nights yet to go, and just 3 days to Christmas, 4 days to Kwanzaa. We'll have a call in later in the week for Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, and others who don't celebrate any of Hanukkah, Christmas, or Kwanzaa. What do you do? How do you get through the holiday-saturated media and holiday-saturated neighbors and general environment right now? We'll do that later in the week. But in the meantime, happy holiday, no matter what holiday you celebrate this week, if you do. This is Hell Week if you're traveling for the holidays, though, right? You heard Andrea Bernstein's report on the news right there about the troubles with the AirTran and some other things. And did you hear the takeaway this morning? They did a cool thing. They set reporters loose in Atlanta, Denver, and New York. Their mission, to make it to those cities' major airports via public transportation, public access being very different in different cities. And it's just one criterion for what makes an airport successful or user-friendly. And our next guest, Matthew Coogan, has looked at a lot of these measures. He's director of the New England Transportation Institute, and boy, does he know airports. He joins us to discuss the best and the worst cities for flying into and out of. Hi, Matthew. Welcome to WNYC today. Happy holidays.
It's a pleasure to be on here.
And listeners, our phones are open for this at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to our webpage, the best and worst airports you've ever been in. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or for that matter, the best and worst airports to get to or from. 212-433-9692. Matthew, how many airports have you been to in your life?
More than I care to think about. I've done consulting in London and Oslo and Stockholm and given advice to airports literally around the world. I'm working now in Salt Lake and a few other cities. But the most exciting thing I'm doing is a study as to why the Northeast aviation system breaks down every time you have bad weather.
You mean?
So that covers most of them up here.
Bad weather doesn't break down the aviation system in the Midwest or in Scandinavia or other places with, you know,
well,
when the snow and ice comes?
It certainly does in the Midwest.
Oh, yeah.
There's a place called Chicago, and if you have a chance to not transfer there, I suggest that you not transfer there.
Seize that opportunity to not transfer there.
Take your options and run with them.
Right. So why does the system break down in bad weather so much in the Northeast compared to other places that are better?
The system breaks down because no one is in charge of it. No one has the power to walk out onto a runway and say, look, there are too many little planes using up space on this runway, and the law is just not on our side. The law tends to defend the rights of the airlines to operate just the smallest planes they want, which on a bright, sunny day is just peachy. It works great. But as soon as the fog hits LaGuardia and the snow hits LaGuardia and Newark, we're all in trouble, and it happens over and over and over.
Didn't the Bush administration just try to do something like this? Get the
Northeast
airports
administration,
fewer flights to relieve overcrowding.
Well, they are trying a bunch of ways, including some rather dogmatically driven ways, to let the famous unregulated free market, you remember that? The famous unregulated free market have auctions. And that's what, I don't think that's what's needed. What they need is much more of a collaboration with the guys and men and women who really run the airports and work it out together. And that has not been happening for the last 8 years.
You gave Oslo's airport perhaps your highest rating. Is Oslo the best airport for international travel that you've been in?
It probably is, but it's small.
Yeah.
And there's an observation there.
I mean, we're talking Norway here.
Yeah, you're talking Norway. What happened is they had an airport like LaGuardia, which was right in the middle of a bunch of neighborhoods, right downtown. And so what the government said is, we're going to solve this problem. We're going to design trains and airports as one system. And we're going to make sure that from the beginning of the design, somebody who comes by public transportation is treated as well or better than somebody who comes in a less sustainable mode and drives their car. And they did it. They really pulled it off.
Raul in Huntington, a flight attendant. Hi, Raul. You're on WNYC.
Yes, good morning. I'm a great fan of yours.
I'm glad you are.
Thank you. The reason I'm calling is because as a flight attendant, I was based in Germany, in Europe, for 9 years, and I traveled extensively around Europe, and over there, the infrastructure moves into the airport when the airports are built, meaning every airport or every major airport in Europe has a transportation system or link, buses or train. Most of them do train, that runs 24 hours a day, where in the United States, you don't find that. They build the airport, and later they're like, oh, how do we get people in and out? Meaning that, for example, LaGuardia, you got to drive. You have to drive or take a taxi, and like we leave the car there for 2 or 3 nights, and it costs you a couple of $100s. What is the... Why are we not doing that in the United States? And as to LaGuardia, when do you expect a train system to move into that airport, like an air train system?
Don't hold your breath, Raul. Matthew, what do you say to Raul?
We've had 8 rough years in the federal government where there's been a lot of dogmatic belief that the private sector can do anything without the intervention of the government, which is the opposite of what Raul was telling us about Frankfurt. If you want to go from Frankfurt to Cologne, you do it, but it's a train. Lufthansa sells you the ticket, and you get on the train, and that means they're not cluttering up the runways with lots and lots of little planes going off to Cologne. So Raul is totally correct. Brian, I can't guess what the reaction of the local community would be around LaGuardia. An air train type solution sure looks like a good idea, but it has been proposed over and over again with rather negative community reactions.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
In Washington Dulles, because I'm very familiar with Washington Dulles Airport, I know there was some conflict as to they wanted to build a train into the airport, and something happened with the system where they were saying that Virginia was asking for more money to build the train system, and that's been put on hold. Where are the plans into that?
I think that one is coming off of hold. The negotiations on who pays for one of these things. It's sometimes really hard to make a local community pay for something that is sort of regional and national in scope. But I think they've turned the corner, and I think the train is going to go beyond Tyson's Corner, and it's going to get out there fairly soon.
Raul, happy holidays. Call us again. Happy flying.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
President-elect Obama has this plan now, Matthew, for a big infrastructure stimulus package. Billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars will go toward upgrading the country's infrastructure in various ways. Do you think airports should be one of the targets of this?
I think you're pretty close to it with Raul's comments just a minute ago. Airports very often have pretty good funding mechanisms. When you land, there's something called a landing fee, and the airport can use the landing fee to make a better terminal. 1 foot outside of the airport, when you're talking about taking the Washington Metro to Dulles or something, they have a rough time finding the money for that. So I think it is real important that a stimulus program not just be the list of 500 bridge widenings that happen to come up first. I think people should really think strategically about how that money could be spent well. And the Dulles example would be a perfect one.
Airport expert Matthew Coogan, my guest on WNYC from the New England Transportation Institute, and Mary in Queens. You're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
You have a best and worst airport for us, don't you?
Right, and it's the same airport. It's
really?
Malpensa in Milano, Italy.
Why is it the best and why is it the worst?
It's the best because it has great design, it down to the little carts, marvelous shops, and it's near the Alps. The scenery is great flying in there. And it's the worst because when you actually get there, it could be fogged in and you wind up taking a bus to Florence. And also, Alitalia perpetually lost our luggage.
Oh, Matthew, have you been to Milano?
I know it fairly well. Your caller was going to Florence. That's too bad, because the train really does go to Milan. It doesn't take you to the center of Milan. It takes you to the side of Milan. And what we have to do is count up our demons carefully, because it's probably the airline that lost your luggage, not the airport.
Right. Okay. Don't blame Milan. Don't blame the beautiful city of Milan, right?
They did a darn good job of making a train. And making a secondary connection to some place like Florence is harder to do. The first thing to do is get the train downtown, and they did that. They did a good job.
Richard in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Brian. I lived over in Asia for about 5 years, and I traveled extensively, and I was there while they were both building new airports and also renovating old ones. And like in Hong Kong, for instance, when they built the new airport, it's outside of the city, and part of the whole plan was to incorporate a train system that would get people and their luggage out there. And they also established it, well, prior to September 11th, that you'd also check in for flights in the city so you don't have to lug your luggage.
They still do. They did not give up. Everybody else has given up, but they still check them in.
Yeah, but not for flights to the U.S. unless they reinstated that.
That's gone back.
Yeah.
That's gone back.
Excellent. But then you also look at, say, Singapore, which has a great airport, and they've, you know, embraced it. And then they just recently built, or past few years, they built a train system to get people out there so you don't have to rely on taxis or buses. And looking at this country where we've really given up on train system for transportation and moved towards airports, then we really need to embrace the airports, you know, to get people there easily, I think.
Matthew?
Singapore did just a fascinating job, because the magnetic levitation technology is a concept developed in the United States and developed in Germany. But Singapore was the first one to build maglev. So you're going to go something in the nature of 250 miles an hour on the ground in the Singapore system. I've done quite a bit of work in the Hong Kong system, and it's just a gem. It's just a gem. When you come in on the train going towards your airplane, the train is up at the departure level. When you come in and pick up your bag and need to go into town, the train is down at the baggage level. Just a beautiful piece of design, dominated by the British, I might point out. But the question is, why can't we attain design like that? I wish I knew.
Richard, thanks for your call. My guest on WNYC is airport consultant Matthew Coogan from the New England Transportation Institute. We're taking your calls and comments about the best and worst airports. 212-433-WNYC or post to WNYC.org. Some of the things coming in on our website. Michael in Manhattan supports the AirTrain. He says he went to JFK for Thanksgiving, took the Long Island Railroad, then the AirTrain, and couldn't have been easier and a total breeze. Someone else writes, the nicest airport I've ever been to is the Keflavik Airport in Iceland. It's absolutely beautiful, with steel beams and hardwood floors. And the best part, it's a silent airport, no announcements. Roy writes, been to many airports around the world. Amsterdam, by far, is the best of the bunch. Even on the first visit, there was never any confusion as to how to get the train from the airport to the city. And what a smooth ride. And someone else, one of my best airport experiences was in Charlotte, North Carolina, not with anything to do as far as air traffic, but with the fact that there was a spa in the airport. While I was waiting, I got a one-hour Swedish massage. Did you know about that in Charlotte, Matthew?
Charlotte was the first airport to invent the Kennedy rockers. You see them in airports all over the United States now,
right,
but having a nice tranquil space where you can rock in a rocking chair. That was invented in Charlotte. I think Seattle was the first place to give you a massage and back rubs. They're very, very insistent on it in Seattle.
My producer
your
says,
caller mentioned Amsterdam, by
yeah,
the way. That's a very popular airport.
It is. I like the Amsterdam airport a lot, too, when I was there. One of my producers got a haircut when he went through the Amsterdam airport. Last week.
Oh, you can do more interesting things than that, but I won't go into it.
Right, and I hear, too, that the spa is available in JFK now as well.
So. Yeah, I think so. I really think they started it up in Seattle as a sort of a Northwest kind of thing.
Keflavik in Iceland, do you know it?
I know it pretty well. It's relatively small by our standards, and again, that gives the designer a little more flexibility, and you don't end up telling us about walking 2.5 miles from gate to gate. But a very nice piece of design. The Amsterdam one we just mentioned, they invented a graphic system that your colleagues in the Port Authority have picked up on. It really, really works well. Different colors for ground access, different colors for commercial locations. Excellent, excellent graphics. And they were invented in Amsterdam.
Richie from Manhattan asks on our website, is it true that the reason that public transportation isn't being built in the New York City area to the airports is because of the taxi lobby?
I would doubt that that's a fair sentence, because your Port Authority has put several billion dollars into that AirTrain. That is no small investment to go both to the Sea Line and then over to Jamaica. And they put a lot of money into a so-called people mover in Newark to get over to the Amtrak system, the New Jersey Transit system. So they've been putting a lot of money to make this system work.
Susan in Manhattan has one no-change public transportation way to get to LaGuardia.
Yeah, you just take the bus that goes across 125th Street, and you can transfer from any uptown or even downtown route.
Right, you can get there from the Upper West Side as well.
Yeah.
It starts at 106th and Broadway, the M60, and I've seen it a million times. I've never ridden
I've
it.
I've taken it.
How long does it take?
You know, I don't know, but it's a heck of a lot easier for me. I live on the east side, and I just go up First Avenue. It's a heck of a lot easier than going to any subway or anything like that.
So you pick it up at 125th Street just before it gets on the Triborough Bridge.
Right. I go uptown, and it's the free transfer on the bus. So.
And does it make...
It stops at different places.
Make a bunch of stops in Queens before it gets to the airport?
Not too many. I don't remember that. No, but it stops around the airport.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Different places in the airport.
Right.
Yeah.
So I found it, you know, cheap and convenient.
Yeah, that is a really good tip, Susan. Thank you.
Brian, your caller is very loyal. Not many people are taking the local buses to get into LaGuardia. LaGuardia is the unsolved problem of the three New York airports.
Well, it's a limited route. You really have to be along the route. I know the route, and I've seen the buses, and they are actually outfitted for luggage, which is kind of neat, but it starts at 106th and Broadway on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. It goes up to 125th Street and then across east, if you know that part of Manhattan, and it goes, you know, then over the Triborough Bridge and out to the airport. So, I mean, it's a very limited route. If you happen to be on the Upper West Side or in Harlem, it works. Or if you, you know, take a train, I guess she was talking about taking the East Side subway or bus up to 125th and transferring. But, of course, if you have a lot of luggage, that's not great either.
If we could get the folks down to Times Square and 42nd Street, I'd be a happier transportation planner.
Barbara in Bayside, you're on WNYC. You got a favorite airport?
Yes, I do have a favorite airport, Brian. It's Zurich, Switzerland. We take either the train, the tram, or a bus right to the airport. And then we once we check in and everything, we take a train to the airline, and the Alpenhorn plays, and the cows moo. It's a delightful, delightful airport.
And Heidi is in the same subway.
Yes, she is.
She's with the Alpenhorns, I think. your caller has got it totally right. Zurich is the grandfather of air rail access in the world today. It was the first airport that did not say, hey, let's do a shuttle to the downtown area. Doesn't do that at all. What it does is integrate the entire national system into the airport. So I don't care where you're going, you'll find a direct service from the basement of the airport, and it is a beautiful, beautiful layout. It is most unfortunate that their national carrier went out of business.
It is very unfortunate, very sad for the Swiss.
Mm. And Barbara...
They took it very personally, too.
Barbara
yes,
has become
the
first caller from Queens to say, and the cows moo
yes.
on our show. So, Barbara, happy holidays.
Happy holiday. Happy
She's
Hanukkah,
not using
Merry
a metaphor,
Christmas.
Brian. They really do.
And, Matthew, before you go, another post from our website, a follow-up. Martin writes, your guest raised an important question but failed to answer it. Why can't Americans design airports the way the Europeans do? What forces present it?
I'm not sure what forces prevent it, but I'm a lot more optimistic about the next 8 years than I was about the past 8 years.
Spencer writes, just back from flying out of Detroit, and they may not make the greatest cars, but they have a wonderful airport. You agree?
It is spectacular. They simplified for the Northwest Terminal. They simplified all the designs that looked like W's and X's and circles and everything. It's one straight line with a people mover down the ceiling, and it is a beautiful, beautiful piece of design. They should be congratulated for it. You can't get there, but that's a separate issue.
They have this beautiful fountain at the Detroit airport.
Everything works well. Everything in the new facility. The old one is just as awful as ever.
Matthew Coogan, director of the New England Transportation Institute. He consults airports, and I guess if there's a bottom line message, policy has prevented it with reliance on the free market in the Bush administration, and he's more optimistic for public transportation to the airports under Barack Obama. Matthew Coogan, it's been a fun conversation. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure, Brian.
Coming up in a minute. For those of you who don't want Caroline Kennedy for Senate from New York, we're going to ask, who are the real alternatives? Stay tuned.